Okay, so here we are. It's a Thursday lunchtime. There's no Max, but she's going to be back in a couple of weeks' time. We do have a floozy in training in the shape of Shirley, who's just waved something a little bit saucy at me. And
it was only the tennis ball.
Oh, was it? Oh, right. I wonder what it was.
Well, you know what I do with this tennis ball, don't you?
Well, I don't want to ask. And we've been joined by a legend of radio. In the shape of Marco Lucky Boy Newlands.
Oh, good afternoon, sir.
And I must say, you're looking rather dapper today.
Thank you very much. Yes, tenors in the post.
Yes.
Tenors in the post.
Thank you very much.
Hair's nice and dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice and dark.
Those little grey flecks. Well, I'm liking that.
One has occasional grey fleck, doesn't one, Shirley?
I think he missed those bits.
Leave it.
All right. So there is a reason why Marco's in, but we are doing the lunchtime social debate. We will be coming on to a couple of subjects in a minute. We're talking nicknames and board games, and we may even get onto the subjects of a 72-year-old new mum, a couple that have been together for about 40-odd years, decided to have a baby, and she was 72.
Good Lord.
Exactly, good Lord. Just imagine explaining that away when your old man's come home from... Well, he wouldn't be working because he was old as well, wouldn't he?
So they both wanted one desperately, but she had IVF, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It wasn't me.
It's not a bingo baby, is it?
A bingo baby.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, then. So just tell us the reason why Marco's in. You've got something to promote and something you're going to be doing.
Well, you get all these bad stories, don't you? I think this is a sort of a feel-good story, so it's sort of cheer us all up a little bit. If I digress, Ian, can I carry on then?
Of course you can, yeah.
Well, it's I'm going back to Romania next Thursday. I'm flying out to a wedding, and the story runs like this. It's a bit spooky as well. The month of May is always there, spookily, and I've been suffering a little problem with my own eyes, and the story's about this young lad and his eye. So, 1993... That sounds a long while ago. Wiltshire Fire Service got in touch with the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue and said, have you got anybody that would like to help us escort a couple of trucks, as in fire engines, to Romania? I said, I have some of that. So in 1994, after meeting the guys from Wiltshire, we went across and delivered one fire engine to a place called Oradea, which is just over the border from Hungary. I got the taste of this and thought, We see the lack of equipment that the Romanians had at the time. I know Romania now has perhaps got a little bit of bad press, but hey-ho, they're not all bad. And so I come back and said to my fire chief, if it's possible, can we do something? And he said, what should we do? I said, well, I've got this idea. What does the Isle of Wight do with its old fire engines? He said, well, I think they're sold off to Africa or places like that for a couple of £100, and that's it. What's your idea? I said, well, how about getting them to Romania? Explained all this, and he said, well, I don't know about that. I said, you get a good bit of kudos out of this over the council. Leave it to me, he said. Next time we're over the council having a chat, and they okayed three fire engines, which was going to be sent to Africa. Bearing in mind, on the island, they don't do much of mileage, so these was 20-year-old trucks with less than 40,000 on the clock. Immaculate condition. So we ended up kitting these trucks out, and in 1994... three fire engines was taken out. There's a great big crew. There was 10 of us on it, and we delivered them again to Oradea. The following year, I come back and said, this has worked out a treat, Chief. Can we have any other trucks? And luckily, there was an old rescue tender that was coming. You may have seen it years ago. It was a white one, Bedford. And went back to the council. They said, yes, no problem. So the following year, then, in May 1996, three fire service personnel, including myself, Martin Pointer, God bless him, and one other, and with an officer and a Mercedes truck, took a load of equipment and this fire engine rescue tender to a place called Suceava, which is it's a city virtually top end of Transylvania. Some parts are only 50 miles from Russia. Give you an idea how far the journey is. Took 10 days to drive it there.
Yeah.
While we was there, we was given some demonstrations how to work bits and pieces. The fire chief of fire prevention disappeared, and he come over and looked terrible. Through the translator, he said, my boy's just had his eye severely injured. Someone's poked it with a stick. And the boy was 8. And he said, we're going through the hospitals. There's nothing we can do here. Is there any chance you can ask anybody when you get back to England? So when we get back to England, I makes a few phone calls to my brother-in-law, who's a top surgeon, not for eyes, but he put us in touch with a top surgeon on eyes in the Nuffield Hospital, private in Southampton. We explained the situation to him. He We had the young lads, his name's Catalin, by the way, had his x-rays flown over. He said, yes, I can operate on him, try to save his eyesight, but it's going to cost thousands of pounds being privately. So the following summer, we raised thousands and thousands of pounds. The people on the Isle of Wight was tremendous. We went to Garlic Festival, all sorts of places, raised the money, flew the lad over. He was operated on, and they saved his eyesight in the one eye. The lad now is obviously grown up. We went back to Suchava again in 2000, year 2000, for some training. We see his father, and that's where the gel really come about. And this young lad now, he's 27, has invited us to his wedding.
Aww.
How lovely. Aww.
So that's a real sort of a good yeah. story. And there's some various pictures that's going to be on the website. Dame Shirley's looking at them. And it was a tremendous story, and his family are forever grateful, and it's just something that you can do, you know. And there we are. So that's a good story of that.
Do you know what's lovely about that? I remember that, you know, that period of time. I remember, you know, seeing you guys out. I wouldn't have known you then, but certainly knew Martin Poynter, and you'd have known the story, and you never,
right.
I'd never thought about it until you've just mentioned it, and you think, oh, it's there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's got a beginning and an end of a lovely, lovely story.
Of a great story. And so, spookily enough, every time we went, it was May, because that's the best time you can go, because after May, it gets tremendously hot.
Yeah.
Excuse me, at the moment, it's 25 degrees, but from June onwards, it's 40. Even up in the mountains.
Cool.
So
why aren't we going on holiday in Romania then?
And Transylvania, you know, joking aside, it is beautiful space.
Yeah.
Beautiful
yeah.
sights a lot. Yeah. And so the other connection is that this was his eye and it's my eye connection. So it's going to be quite an emotional time, I think, when we arrive, flying
sure.
out next Thursday.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a lovely, lovely
out next
story.
Thursday.
Maybe go with goose pimply. Yeah,
we fly
lovely.
from Heathrow to Bucharest. There's six of us going with our wives.
Yeah.
And two other lads are going to make their own way out there. We fly to Bucharest, wait for an internal flight, which is a small jet that lands in something the size of Sandown Airport on grass, believe it or not. That's going to be a bit of a lulu. And
then are you not doing the show then?
No, I can't do it live.
Oh, right.
Not for a
so you want some time off?
Can I have some time off? Well, you know.
Please, sir.
So, anyway,
I'll bring it back
a
Prezi.
You're going in a little plane.
A little jet, yeah, and that's the second flight. And then we're being picked up with I contacted him last night. I said, are we being picked up from Suchava? He said, yeah. I said, because I don't want to sort of book a Transylvanian taxi, thank you very much. He said, no, be assured, him or his sister will pick us up. Then we've got a day of doing all the sights. And the wedding is on the Saturday. It's a formal wedding. So it's near enough a 24-hour occasion. It's a formal wedding in a church.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the day is, I believe, there's about 400 guests. And it's sort of violin playing, vodka drinking, you name it, we dance it. And we've asked him for the Sunday off, if we may. And then it's sightseeing on Monday and then home on a Tuesday.
How lovely. That sounds fantastic.
But it's a good story. And
it's a wonderful story.
He's a good lad. And he's become a doctor himself. Certainly, wow. I believe it's in radiology and stuff like that, but he's on there. And he's marrying a very good-looking young lady.
I've seen her.
And his mum and dad, although we can't speak any Romanian and he can't speak any English, we'll get by with a bit of Marcel Marceau sort of finger picturing.
So he's actually got all his eyesight full, eyesight back?
Near enough on the damaged eye, and obviously good eyesight on the other one. So
that's brilliant.
But it was good, and we invited the doctor over, a bloke called Andrew Luff, but he can't make it. But he said... give him our best regards, and he said, I understand Romanian weddings are long but very enjoyable. So,
are you in training?
I've been training, yeah.
Because
their vodka is called Palinka, and all I can say is it fuels jets. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a lot stronger than ours.
So, can I have a week off when I get back?
you probably need more than a week off, actually, thinking about it. But that is an incredible story. Have you like kept in touch, you know, throughout?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have, yeah. Because of the technology now, Twitter and Facebook, he's always on there. And he listens to the show, Blatant Plug, on a Monday night, 7 till 10. And that's how we keep in touch. But his father listens in as well. And we'll get by, won't we? I've got my Romanian phrase book.
Have you?
So, yeah. But it's
have
a very
you
old,
any Romanian?
Not a chance. Have you ever seen it? It's a cross between Turkish, Old French and Latin.
You can get an app, you know.
What's that?
Well,
what,
get
Romanian
yourself,
apple?
Get yourself an app. Right,
and
too late now.
No, it's not.
You're in to do the show tomorrow, I'll take it.
Yeah, oh yes.
All right, well, I'll come down and we'll go through some general phrases, Romanian phrases.
All right, yeah.
I wish you'd have known, because I could have set it up for us now. We could have learnt some Romanian together.
No. No, that, no, we'll leave it at that.
So does the lad, what's the lad's name?
Catalin.
Catalin.
Yeah, Catalin Luchek.
Very handsome chap.
And his father is Lucel Luchek and his mum Stalika Luchek.
All right, okay, Luchek.
Yeah. Luchek. All but right. The young lad obviously speaks fluent English.
Oh, that's what I was going to
ask. Like they all do. I mean, originally, not sort of just digressing a bit, his father was made to speak Russian under Ceausescu. And of course now Russian's just been chucked out, so all the young people speak English.
Mm. Right.
So it's Russian or Romanian for us old folks.
Okay. But, so Russian or Romanian.
Yeah.
And you don't know anything. You haven't learned anything.
Other than no palinka or palinka. That's all it is.
And that's vodka.
That's their version of vodka, yeah.
Okay, palinka. Sounds like something else, doesn't it? Sounds like something you don't want to touch.
It does clean the garden path up quite well.
Does it?
It gets the old fungus off. But when you think, like, when we went in 1993... stroke 1994, Ceausescu had only been gone about 3 or 4 years, so the actual environment was very untrustworthy. You know, loads of people didn't know, who's these people from England, who are they? And they'd just come like through 40 years of communism, so it's gradually changing. And Catalin and his sister Simona, who's heavily into politics, I think she's a lawyer,
right?
They're sort of saying there's no way we're going back to that, but they're keeping their eye on Russia all the time, you know, because Russia's allegedly crossing borders and all that. So Moldova's next to the Romania, which is a crossover point. That's why we didn't go in 1999. There was a flashpoint there. So, so we're all retired now, but that's going to be the return.
How wonderful. That really is a lovely story. And next Thursday we fly,
and the wedding's next Saturday, 21st of May.
All day. And Sunday you'll be like hungover so much, you'll be sleeping all day.
Well, possibly.
Sleeping it off.
All day breakfast, all day palinka.
You might be back.
You've just had like a week. You had a jolly boys outing, didn't you?
Ooh.
Yes.
Some old blokes.
Who was 63 plus.
Yeah.
Set foot on the island, was doing a bit of a core blimeys and drinking a load of jollop.
Well, with that, because I met you, it was about a week ago. I met you at the end of the road there, and you were with the rest of the jolly boys out in.
Yeah.
And I could spot you a mile off. Because obviously they all got a sear grey.
They're all grey.
And there was this one bloke in the middle there. That it was, hang on a minute, they got their son with them. Yeah. What? And there you were. Yeah. Did you all go to school together?
Yes, we did, yeah.
So you all went to school together, all roughly the same age, same year?
The tall guy with the silver hair, I'm half hour older than him, he's the same age as me.
Tall guy with the silver hair.
And my other mate, Dave, he's 5 days earlier, yeah. We've known each other now for, 57 years.
Wow.
They must rib you about your hair,
don't
they?
Of course they do, but I rib them about their weight, don't I? Or the way the other bloke, the tall bloke, walks. I said, he's a bit, looks a bit, no, I won't go there. But we do banter, we bounce off each other.
Do you like, because
and they can half drink.
I've got to be honest with you. Some people have said this around Vectis Radio. Half the time, we don't understand what Marco's on about because he goes into this lingo.
Well, it's local lingo, yeah.
But then I guess you guys are bantering on all the time, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You wouldn't have understood us at all.
Well, we had a job too. And I thought, I'll tell you what, if I'd have gone drinking with you, I think I would have been slaughtered after the first pint.
If you don't understand any Cockney lingo or any sort of rhyming sort of stuff, after a few pints, it comes quite easy.
Does it?
Yeah. I can assure you.
So was that part of the... Did you get them in for the training strategy?
No, it's an annual event.
I need a hard session before I go over there.
No, it's an annual event. They like the Isle of Wight, obviously.
Yeah.
And I said, surely we should... One comes from Crawley now, and one comes from Barkingside in Essex, but they're all from Bermondsey. And I said, any chance of having one over there? So you're having a laugh, ain't you? What are we going to do? So over here we have a few beers, bit of golf. Well, golf, Browns. And,
pitch and par.
Yeah, and of course, they're amazed, living in a concrete jungle, they're amazed with even to see a patch of grass, so they think they've gone on holiday. And then we sit down, put the old hankies on their head, put the feet in the sea. Yeah, that's it. A few beers, a few sherbets, and away we go.
Oh, brilliant. Getting back to the story, what's lovely about this is that you've got a young man who, you helped.
Yeah.
And there he is now, he's 27 and he's helping others.
Yes, right, yeah.
Which is a lovely thing, isn't it?
Which is great,
it really is. Yeah. So he's now 27 years
27,
old.
27, yeah.
And he's now a doctor?
Yeah, we believe he's a doctor.
What is he a doctor of? What is he?
I'm not sure. The pictures look like if he's involved with radiology or whatever. What they call it? X-rays, all that sort of area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I shall find it out.
It's an ology, isn't it? It is an ology.
It's an ology of some sort, yeah. And he's done well.
No, good on him. Brilliant. So, is it the only time he came to the Isle of Wight or came to Britain was when he had the operation?
Yeah, well, we got him into Southampton and Nuffield, yeah. And then we brought him over to the island for a few days, and he actually come back for two more operations. So he's been here. He's been to Britain three or four times. He's come to Britain quite often now on holiday with a young lady.
Never been to the Isle of Wight?
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Right. If he comes again, and yeah. I know he comes again, I shall try and get him onto the island to introduce you.
We'll get him some
to Sir Palinka.
We'll get him some homebrew.
Homebrew, yeah. Mecca's homebrew. Try that, boy. Yeah. Yeah, that'll blow your hat off.
Reduce you to your knees.
Yeah. So I say, they get some bad press now, like everyone, but it's a good story, and everyone's not the same.
It is a good story. Sure. I hope it goes really well. I hope you come back in one bit.
Well, we send you some photos. Yeah. And as my mate said, with the nickname of Lucky Boy, will you be coming back? I said, don't even go there. Yeah. You know, if there's going to be some incident, I'm going to be involved, and I.
You kind of look Romanian.
Well, when we first went, I would actually got the nickname of Vlad, as in Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there is a likeness. Yeah.
And God bless him, old Martin used to sort of call me Vlad as well. But that's another story.
So he's going to come back browner than what he is now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You didn't use that makeup anymore, Marco?
No, I won't, no. No, I should come back very...
Dead, go out in the rain.
Come out in the proper suntan.
Yeah, I told you, you can't buy this dye anywhere on the island. It's special. It don't run, it's rainproof, it's special.
Hey, listen, it's. I know you've been hanging around for a little while to tell the story, but it is a nice story, and I hope it goes well. And it'd be nice to, you know, if you came across to the Isle of Wight, do an interview with him, because, you know, X amount of years on from that, 1993, 94, time he went out there, and I remember hearing about it, and you guys used to do that all the time, didn't you?
That's right. So we used to arrange, because the fire service was in bad straits out there from the old communist days, and so we had, that was one good story, delivering the trucks for the people, training up the old fire service, and then of course the other story was Catlin.
So what is their fire crew? I bet their fire crew's better than ours now. I bet they're
first class. It's first class. I mean, when we went there, their roads was worse than the islands. It was Pothole City. Now, with the European money, they've got some first-class roads. Oh. First-class fire service.
Can you ask them if we can have our engines back?
Have our money back.
I don't think they've got them now, but we might need them.
Yeah, you might do, the way things are going, aren't they?
But there's a good picture on the site that you're going to have on there. That was the last truck we took. That was me and Martin and another guy. And old Martin will sort of be proud, really, because it's a shame he can't be at the wedding. But there we are, I'll be there in spirit. There'll be a good speech, I would imagine, from Catalin's father relating to Martin.
Yeah, you guys have done a lot of fantastic work over the years. You're not just firemen, are you? You do a lot of things.
It's nature of the job, like all the public services. It's just a shame that we're not going to go down the politics road. It's just a shame that they just rubbish the public services now. But there we are.
Yeah, they have. But, like
not
say,
all bad.
Let's not go into the negativities there. But, you know, hats off to you and the team, and, you know, over the years. You know, and we don't praise you enough. And I say that it's not just, you know, fire crew, nurses,
paramedics,
ambulance group, paramedics, police, our soldiers. They don't get enough credit, do they?
No.
And yet, you see, we started.
See, no,
we
leave started it. Going down leave that road, it. You're coming off the good story.
I read on the internet there, somewhere on the island, a dog fell into a slurry or something, a cesspit, and the firemen come out to get him out. I mean, what an awful job.
Well,
yeah.
And there's one, I'll leave it on this one. There's one, including Martin. We got older, I think I told you before. I was going to write a book once called Horse Up a Tree. You know, it's cat up a tree.
Yeah.
This is the only fire service I know of. We was ordered onto a horse stuck up a tree. And we was going out towards Cowes on the Newport Road there. And because the fields undulate, they go up, down and down and down. This horse got a bit spooked. It jumped one hedge, ran across a field and jumped it and landed on top of a tree in the next. It was stuck at the top of the tree. So when me and Martin and a few others turned up, they took some photos of it.
Yeah.
You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because we had to wait for the vet, and we had to get it down, and the horse survived, and the tree had to be cut down. But it is a true story. Horse stuck up a tree.
Horse stuck up a
were
tree.
Were you involved when the horse was stuck in a swimming pool?
I wasn't, no.
Over at Shalfleet.
No, Martin would have been.
Yeah, horse was stuck in the side, actually went into Singapore.
You get weird and wonderful jobs from sort of horrible road traffic accidents to sort of pigeons stuck up a chimney.
But nearly every day, when you look on the internet there, nearly every day your firemen are out doing something, your firefighters, I should call
them. I said to Ian once, one of the first jobs I came here in 89, was we was ordered for a chameleon stuck up a chimney in Ryde.
Oh, no.
And I thought, you're having a laugh.
No.
And we went into the living room. This bloke had all these reptiles. I can't remember his name. It might have been George the Chameleon or something like that. And he said, I'll let it out for his cornflakes. I kid you not. And then it darted up the chimney. And then, of course, we get up the chimney on the ladder, and we've got, like, great big heavy gloves.
Yeah.
And someone said, I'm trying to get a chameleon out the chimney. And we couldn't get it. And in the end, some bloke, we managed to get it with a rope, pull it out, and the old owner's saying, well, wait a minute, it's my pet, way easier. So have you seen the teeth on a chameleon?
Oh,
so yeah. They're like little dragons, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I thought we saw only in the fire service could you get jobs like that.
Yeah.
And there you are.
Yeah.
Oh, you must have some stories.
Yeah, be another program.
Yeah.
Well, don't have to vacate. We haven't got nothing planned.
No, we haven't. Have we?
Yeah. No, it's a very special job I had, definitely.
Yeah.
How long have you been in it for, Marco?
26 years, wasn't
it? Wow.
Yes. Man and boy.
Man and boy.
First job was a sign writer. Got made redundant.
Uh-huh. Why did you get made redundant for?
I'm going back a bit, mate. The old boy, when I left school, because when at school, you know, when you go to school and the careers officer said, what would you like to do? I said, I'd like to be a cartoonist on a newspaper. He said, have you thought of bricklaying? I said, no, actually. He said, no one does cartoonists that we're talking about. It's Daily Sketch in the Daily Mirror.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm not having that. So I said, well, I wouldn't mind being a sign writer then, you know, the old lettering and that. Oh, he said, I can get you a job. There's a place called Glover, Webb and Liversidge, down the Old Kent Road opposite the gas shop and gasometer place. And it was painting Whitbread tankers. Do you remember Whitbread beer?
Yeah.
It was brown tankers.
Yeah.
And you had to paint the gold letters of Whitbread on it.
Oh.
Or the other job was painting the gold lions on British rail carriages.
Oh.
Yeah, so we started on that, and then some old boy comes up. He didn't have an Isle of Wight accent, but he says something like the version of, here, mate, you want to get out of this job? He said, because everything's going to illuminated signs. This has had its day. And he was right, but now it's gone full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went from there. So I went up to my dad. I said, I've got no job. Well, he said, get out the Labour Exchange then, as it was called.
Yeah.
So I went up the Labour Exchange. Am I going on too much here?
No, you carry on. No, I'm enjoying this trip down.
And I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to do shelf stacking? Do you want to do driving, bricklaying? I said, nah. I said, I wouldn't mind working in advertising. Leave it to me. So they sent me to an advertising agency. Mm-hmm. When I told my dad, he was going, yeah, where's that? Then I said, up the West End. He went, oi, easy boy, you know, reputation and all that. I said, that's all right. Worked at the advertising agency, then went into a warehouse, bonded warehouse, customs and excise size. And then from there, joined the fire service. And the only reason I joined it, I was reading the Daily Mirror one day and it says, blah, blah, blah. And they was paying a fiver more than I was earning. So.
Yeah.
I joined when I was about 25, 25 and a half, one of the oldest in the training squads. Mm. It was in June. It was really hot. You know, you're not as fit as some of these, as you think, with some of these 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
And then on a passing out week, you had to pass out like the army and all that, one of the lads who ended up being the chief fire officer of South Yorkshire, he was brainy as anything, but stupid on the practical side. I can say that now because I don't talk to him. And he was going to pass out in the heat. And so we put our arms around him, a bit like Albert RN, the old film, said, don't you fall over, we'll get back squatted. So went from there, and then unfortunately, years later, the fire service was out in strike on South Yorkshire, and I phoned him up. I said, what the hell are you doing? I won't tell you his name. And he said, well, things are different now. I said, I'll disown you. I said, absolute disgrace. Come from, you've changed. And it seems to be, once they go above a certain rank, they seem to go the political route. I'll probably get slaughtered for that. But anyway, there's that story. And it goes on. But I've met some fantastic people and some horrible people.
Do you know what? There's somebody desperately trying to get through. And hopefully they want to talk to you. Might be someone from your neck of the woods. You never know.
It's not me, mate, is it?
Hi, who's this?
Hello, mate. I just want to wish Marco good luck.
Oh, thank you very much, Keith.
How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Good, man. Not too bad. No, I just picked up on something you said there about Glover Webb.
Glover Webb and Liversidge, yeah.
That's right. Well, the Glover Webb that I know about used to... there was down at Amble Airfield, across the water there. Back in the 80s, I delivered to them, carried some of their stuff. They were making armoured vehicles out of Land Rovers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they were based down there, mate.
So, maybe we're in the same company, because they was making these big beer tankers.
Yeah, I suspect they were, mate. Like I said, I also used to deliver to HCB Angus.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet you recognise that name.
That name, yeah. They used to build the trucks, yeah. Yeah.
Indeed, mate, back in the 80s. Sadly, HCB, they've gone as well.
All gone,
mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, all gone.
All gone, Dennis a lot.
Dennis used to be over there at Guildford, I think, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, they've just built a new fire engine, and I think it was so good, they went bust.
Oh,
you know, because Ian's just looked at me, but you see it, they make a fantastic, all the firemen said, this is a brilliant truck.
Yeah.
And they go out and buy Volvos instead.
Yeah.
You know, because there's, I can't go into it, it's too much, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's too political, mate.
Sniff.
Yeah, too political. But I said, mate, well, I wish you luck.
Thank you very much.
And I'm honoured to be a friend, mate.
And myself. I'll give you, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks, cheers,
mate.
Thanks, Keith. Cheers. Cheers, mate. Yeah, I'm honoured too.
Yeah, so am I, Marco.
Thank you very much.
I think you're fantastic.
Thanks very much.
It's like a father figure to me and you as well, isn't he?
A father figure to me.
A father figure. Yeah.
Father.
Because we do have something in common, Marco.
Do we?
Your
we
hair.
Do. We do have something in common. We are always accused of having dyed hair.
Your hair.
We are, yeah. We are.
Does it annoy you?
Not now, no.
No.
But, well, anyone I see, Shirley will be a bit of an example, and they'll go, is that real? And they say, cool. I've not heard that for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And they say, is that real? And they say, what's that? Bop, I have some of that. They've got a black eye. Yeah. No, I don't. But no, it's going to go. My father, you said pictures earlier, my father took it to his grave, dark hair. Granddad. Yeah.
But did he put something in it?
No.
You didn't put something in it? You don't dye it at all?
No.
Well, you must put something in it, a bit of Brill cream or something?
No.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all,
he's
mate.
He's got a little bit of gel or something.
You must have a bit of gel in there or something.
Well,
it's very shiny.
Very shiny, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you must
but that's not a dye. That's not a dye.
No, you must have something in there to keep it in
I've
place.
Got a couple of flecks. Well, actually,
Harmony?
I've got six.
Harmony hairspray?
Hair lacquer, I think.
No, it's not the hair lacquer. Look, it's not hair lacquer.
Well, you've touched a nerve now, haven't you?
No,
it's not stiff.
Yeah,
no, it's not. No, it's the syrup, and we'll leave it there. Anyway, I've got about 6 or 7 grey hairs, and I suppose it's what my dad used to say. I've got one for each decade.
Do you keep plucking them out?
Never. I can't wait to go grey.
Oh, me too.
Distinguished. I want this distinguished
Absolutely.
Look. I don't want to die with it.
No,
I mean,
you don't.
Because I've got to be honest, Marco, when we saw you out last week with your mates, with your grey-haired mates, obviously from a distance you look like a little boy out with three granddads. It did look a bit odd.
Yeah, it looks a bit iffy.
But they're the ones you saw first because they were striking.
Yeah.
You see, as soon as you go grey, people think you're much older.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So just be thankful. Both of you.
That's what my dad says. That's what my son says.
Yeah.
My son's 35. He went into a supermarket recently and asked for ID when he was buying beer. And I says, think of it as a compliment because it's the same thing.
Has he got your hair as
he
well?
He has,
then?
Yeah. Wow. Well, not my hair, because I've got it on.
No,
but it's the same colour. He'll never go grey either. No. He won't go bald.
He's a lucky chap, isn't he?
Yeah.
Are you going bald? Are you going a bit thinner?
No, his head's just getting bigger.
Receding, aren't you?
No, I'm not receding at all.
You don't know
it's
what,
been like this for years.
You don't know what your dad's hair was like,
I got a picture of me when I was 20, and I was... I found him eventually. He was bald.
He was bald? So
oh, yeah, he
so
had
you
a great big trench up the middle. Yeah, I could do, I suppose.
Are you on the top? Are you going a bit thin on the top?
I'm glad I didn't look like my mum. I had my mum's hair. She's got ginger, Brian Ginger, carrot top. She's the only person I know that's got ginger hair, and it's gone grey, but she dyes it. She could dye any colour she wanted. She's got a blank canvas hair, and she goes for the old carrot top.
Yeah. Well, you've got to be careful, because there's a lot of ginger people out there.
There are.
Yeah, well, yeah, you've
there
got
are
to be careful.
There are other colours
as well,
you've just
insulted them all.
No, no, there are other colours out there. Ginger.
There are other colours available.
That's it.
I like that colour hair, ginger.
Have you ever dyed your hair?
No, there's no need to, is there?
At all, not even when you were younger, like gone for a few blonde streaks or something?
No, when I was younger, if you'd have done that, you'd have been, oi. Leave it there.
Yeah,
you'd have been very popular in the pub.
Yeah.
Well, especially over Piccadilly. Anyway.
All right, okay.
But no, so it wasn't done them sort of days, old chap. When you used to go into the pub, you had to wear a shirt and tie and a mohair suit. And you go in the pub and, everyone got dressed up, unlike today.
That's right.
Not saying it's wrong.
I was only saying earlier on, when I met my Mick, he was in a suit. And that's all he used to wear all the time while he was courting.
Yeah. And all he wears now is jeans.
It's nothing. Oh, jeans.
Scruffy. Let himself go, hasn't he? Hey?
They didn't wear jeans then, did you, Marco?
No. We weren't allowed in pubs anyway with jeans on. No, it was always.
Weren't.
Wasn't cast as casual wear. No, it was suits. Three
that's
piece suits. You know, the one with the elmo, I was talking to me mate the other day.
Yeah.
Had a little pocket just on his waistcoat. What was that for? His pocket watch, because it was you put it across the old chain. You had that sort of look at the time.
Proper shoes.
Yeah.
You couldn't go any for trains.
And even Sunday lunchtimes, you had to get togged up because the boozers was only open from 12 to 2.
Yeah, that's right.
And you go, and I always remember this story. I'm going to go off on one again.
Go on.
Jeff, the tall guy with the silver hair. We used to go round, meet me other mate. I mean, my dad and granddad used to go round, and my granddad still was thinking of the times of the 30s and 40s. So he said, "Oh, Arthur," that was my dad's name. "Here, Arthur, get the boys a drink," and he'd give me dad a 10-bob note. For five of us.
He
said, "I hate going out of you." He said, "It cost me money." My granddad thought everyone was having a drink for 10 shillings. Anyway, we digress. We went in a pub and Jeff was poured definitely a flat pint. But in them days, they used to put the old cheese cubes on the bar with the old stick, you know, Sunday dinner time. Help yourself with some cheese,
that's
lads.
Right, yeah.
So, of course, we all had a bit of that. And Jeff said, excuse me, landlady, and she was all togged up, dressed, definitely in charge. Pub was immaculate. He said, my beer's flat. She said, you've just eaten too much cheese. Out. And so we all had to leave, including my granddad, who's still drinking his beer. Chucked us out. But the landlady was in charge. But everyone was super smart. I mean, she'd been on a jollop at least till 1-2 in the morning with lock-ins. She was immaculate.
Yeah.
Jollop.
You just don't see it now,
so
do you?
So here he goes again. It's jollop.
We can work that out, I think.
Do you ever go back? And
When my mum and dad was alive, until when my dad passed on, but I don't go up there now. I mean, it's horrible. It's definitely...
I've heard that said. Yeah.
Amongst other cities as well. There could be some Londoners listening. Generally, it's... No, I've left it alone now. My own area has become very yuppified. So I only sort of lived about half a mile from Tower Bridge. And all that area was absolute slums and villains and all that. Mm. And now it's sort of like million-pound flats, which was council flats,
rich
and now
villains.
Three-quarters. No, no, the villains have moved out. They're down in Essex and Kent.
Oh, right.
As well as other places.
Yeah, that's where my wife's from.
Yeah, and on the island.
He keeps putting his foot in it.
But that half a mile right along the dockside is just yuppie land. All the council flats are sort of £750,000 and all the people. I met a barrister once. He said, I live in Devon Mansions. I said, oh, yeah, where's that then? He said, in Tooley Street. I don't know if you know, it's in Bermondsey. I said, I was born in Bermondsey. Was you really? And you could see the old eyes sort of thing. Good Lord, commoner, can't surely.
Yeah.
And I said, how much you pay for the flat? £1.2 million. Yeah. Devon Mansions was like Peabody Buildings, Guinness Trust, all them sort of places, all flogged off.
So is it Peckham? Is it near Peckham? Is it
the next stop down would be Peckham, yeah.
Right, so it's not too far from...
No, from Delboy, yeah.
But
that's gentrified as well now, Peckham. All the big houses now.
Because they do make reference to it in one of the episodes with when Grandad goes... Not Grandad, Uncle Albert goes missing.
Yeah.
And he ends up down at some docks...
It wouldn't be Peckham then, no. It'd be like Surrey Docks or all them sort of places.
So he ended Peckham up somewhere. Rye. And he was looking around and he was saying, oh, God, that's a bit of me. I'd love to be in a place like this. This is a bit of Del Boy, this is.
Yeah.
And Rodney sort of takes him to one side and tells him off for thinking, you know, about, the, you know, this was somebody's house. And they've knocked them all down and made them into posh drums.
Yeah.
And they had a bit of a discussion on it, but they kind of put that into... Yeah. They were talking about the actual flat that they lived in as well, because that would have gone for, I don't know, loads and
silly
loads
money,
of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Peckham, New Cross, Lewisham, Brixton, they're all in that area. Mm. And originally, Brixton was a rich people's place, like loads of doctors in the 1850s and that lived there. Mm. And it reached a sort of tipping point, and then they become slums.
Yeah.
Well, now it's gone the other way again. Now back as top old places to live.
Well, was it yuppie time, yuppie period, 1980s?
Margaret's times, as in Thatcher.
Lovely woman.
Yeah, look after number one, she said, and you'll be all right. That's the trouble with society
and
now.
And that's when the area that you grew up in changed massively.
Yeah, they closed all the wharfages, all the jobs went, moved them all out, and all these wharfs were standing around empty, and they just sort of done them up, flogged them off. There's a place called Spiller's Wharf, and each flat in there is £2 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they would have been.
So the
like
people of Bermondsey, they can't. So they moved out, haven't they?
Of course.
How sad is that? That it's lost its heritage, isn't it?
Oh, really? It has, yeah. Well, on the other hand, when you do go up there, Hayes Wharf, which is now Hayes Galleria, you've got private hospitals everywhere, pubs and restaurants all over the place. As a tourist spot, it's fantastic because it's right opposite the Tower of London. It's all there.
Yeah.
But you just got to move on, haven't you?
Yeah.
It is now a place to be.
So you're obviously quite saddened by this.
Not really now, no.
But you won't visit it? You won't go?
Not unless I have to.
No.
And of course, the other thing is when you can't... It's good for transport now. Tubes everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll give you another little example. When we used to go to the Marquee Club years ago, we used to go and see various groups, and then I'd get on, and it used to finish at 10:30. It was £5 for a year's membership. Mm-hmm. And you see all these great groups. And it'd finish at 10:30, but they'd have an encore. So 10:40. You'd run out of the Marquee Club, you had to run to Piccadilly Circus to get the last tube on the Bakerloo line to the Elephant and Castle. There was no tubes after that. They couldn't build any more tube lines for some reason. And we had to get the last bus, the number one bus. Otherwise, we couldn't get home. And we missed it once, and we had to walk home. So I got in at 2:00, bearing in mind I'm about 18. My dad said, where the hell have you been? He says, 2:00 in the morning. I said, Dad, I know, I'm 18. Why are you living in this house? He said, I'm in charge, got it. But it was all down to transport. But transport's everywhere. They've got tubes, buses, fantastic system.
Yeah.
But you can't drive up there. It's a nightmare.
Marco, we're going to take a quick break. Can you stick around? Because I want to ask you about live music. You must have seen some live acts in your time.
We'll do, yeah.
In and around. You must have seen lots and lots of live acts. Yeah. All right. Some good ones.
Yeah, very
good. Seen Squeeze?
I've seen Squeeze, yeah.
What, in your neck of the woods?
Yes, yeah, at Blackheath.
Because that's where they're from, isn't it, around
there?
Yeah,
Deptford and Blackheath.
Yeah.
Jules Holland's from Deptford.
Deptford boys, yeah.
Yeah, big recording studio Blackheath he's got.
Yeah, right, okay, we'll chat more about that in a wee while, because, we got nothing else planned, so...
I'll stay. He's locked the door.
Hey, you can't go anywhere. So, and you think if I've super glued you to the chair as well. When he sat down, that's not blue tack. Don't get up too quick. We'll come back in a few minutes and we'll talk about Marco in town watching Squeeze and other gigs as well.
Oh, thank you.
Are available.
The Lunchtime Social Debate brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Putting the community back into local radio. This is Vectis Radio.
VectisRadio.com.
For the people, by the people.
The Castle in St Helens offers 4-star self-catering accommodation in 2 properties sleeping up to 7 people. The properties have secluded grounds with off-road car parking just a few minutes walk away from the beach and a village green. St Helens is a charming village and the Castle is an excellent base for your Isle of Wight holiday, whether you want to explore all the island has to offer or just get away from it all. We're open all year, dogs are welcome and short breaks are available. Go to our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk for full details of prices and availability, or call us on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to find out more or to book your ideal getaway.
Andy Gustar is here to tell us about Bring a Friend at Hamilton's Fine Foods.
Bring a Friend is a scheme we're running for our existing customers to take away a voucher and to bring a friend in with that voucher next time so that you each receive a pack of our famous ham, our traditional ham and local ham. We're going to keep this going hopefully for around about 2.5 to 3 months. When you turn up, initially you'll be given a voucher, and on that voucher you'll find there's a small form to fill out as regards to your details, your name, your telephone number or your email address. We want to build a database that we can keep you in contact with our ongoing offers. We do some spectacular offers of a very good quality meat.
Hamilton's are in Newport, they're in Pyle Street. Where else are you?
We're in Cowes High Street, Witten Bridge. We also have a shop now on Dodder Industrial Estate.
Hamilton's Fine Foods, the best local butcher in town.
Check out the Riverside Centre Carpentry Shop next door to Vectis Radio. Skilled craftsmen have a small shop that's set up to donate to the Riverside charity. The shop contains nest boxes, tables, garden furniture, wooden horses. Practically anything wooden can be made to order. The skilled craftsmen are down to earth and really friendly. So don't be shy. Come and see them here at the Riverside Centre in Newport.
Want to beat the NHS waiting times and be seen by an experienced physiotherapist? If you have an injury, ongoing pain or just want some advice, contact Physiocare and Sports Injury Clinic today. We are the largest and oldest physiotherapy practice on the island, with 3 practices in Ryde, Bembridge and Cowes, and our aim is to see people within 48 hours. We're registered providers for all the major UK insurance companies. Let our enthusiastic team help you. Contact our friendly and knowledgeable practice manager Rachel on 01983 812 576, or by email manager@physio-care.com, or on our website physio-care.com.
The House of Chili is located at Hollier's Barn in Branston, between Princelet Shoot and Thompson Garden Centre. We stock a vast array of chili-related products from the Isle of Wight. Chili balsamics, relishes, chutneys, marmalades, sweets, snacks, dried mixes, and a vast array of hot sauces from the Isle of Wight and around the world. We have sample tables to taste a wide variety of products. Looking for that unique present? How about a House of Chili gift pack or one of our luxury hampers? Check out www.houseofchili.com. Ideal gifts for the chili lover in your life.
Yeah, just drop me there, Dave.
This is Ted. Ted loves listening to Vectis Radio when he's out and about. Don't you, Ted?
I do. I love listening to Vectis Radio when I'm out and about. I gotta tell you, lugging this desktop PC around is doing my back in.
Oh, Ted, you are silly. If you, like Ted, are finding it troublesome listening to your favourite local station when on the go, here's a simple solution. Just download the Vectis Radio app for free on your smartphone or tablet. Then you can listen to all your favourite radio shows without the inevitable need for a hernia operation.
The Vectis Radio app? On my phone? Cool. I feel like such an idiot.
Oh, you are, Ted. You really are. The Vectis Radio app is in association with Southern Vectis and Red Funnel Ferries, our sponsors on land and sea, helping you listen to Vectis Radio absolutely free.
Stay social and get in touch. It's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Do you know, we've got lots of things written down to do in this hour. We said we never had anything planned, but we were going to talk about tablets and hobbies and nicknames and board games and a 72-year-old mother that decided to have a baby. They've only been together for about 40-odd years, and her and her husband decided, do you think it's time we should have a child? And they have, haven't they?
They've always wanted one, apparently.
They've always wanted one for all that time.
Yeah.
Did they just not know what to do? What's going on? What?
Well, they lived in India.
Someone buy them a book.
That's what I said. She was out doing bingo every night.
All those years. You've been doing it wrong.
I'm older.
She's even going to breastfeed that baby.
Oh, too much info.
I mean, you can see the picture of her.
Oh, I don't want to. Now, I'm all for breastfeeding in public.
But if you could see the lady.
There was a lady that was in the news the other day. We're going to come to Marco's story in a moment. But there was a news story the other day where there was a lady that was asked to leave somewhere. She was in a hospital, actually, breastfeeding in a waiting room.
Yeah.
And they said she was too sexy to be breastfeeding, so she had to go.
So she had it all out then?
Who was that? All the women in there? It wouldn't have been the blokes.
No. The women must have...
Scratch that one.
They were probably jealous, the women, I expect.
Anyway, look, let's get back to Marco. Right. Let's stop thinking about breastfeeding, for goodness sake. So we got Marco in. He's told this incredible story about this young lad. And because we've got nothing planned for the next quarter of an hour or so, we thought we'd keep you here and we'll take a trip down memory lane, if you can.
Right, yeah.
I mean, well, you can.
Yeah, well,
let's do it.
Well, you're still here, Mark.
So you went to see Squeeze?
Yes, I did, at Blackheath, yeah.
And how long, what year was that?
About 81.
So
82, that period of time. So not been going too long.
So you'd have been...
Up the junction time.
So that would have been 79 there to here.
Yeah.
But at 81, they were on tour. I saw them for the first time on tour in 81 at Portsmouth Guildhall. They were absolutely brilliant. Yeah. But you saw them in Blackheath, which were in their neck of the woods.
It is, I mean, they're from Deptford. Most of them are from Deptford.
That's
area.
Right, they were,
Jules Holland used to live in a great big drum up on Blackheath there with a recording studio. I think he's moved to Maidstone now. He's got a big...
He has.
He's got this,
we
that's where he does his
we
live
went to
program.
The wedding in the castle right next door to his house.
Yeah. Mm. And he's down there. He does live from Jules Holland from his... big warehouse now, don't they? But at the time, he used to live in Blackheath, which was quite a few bob.
Okay, so did you think they were good? They were going to make
it was excellent, yeah, definitely.
Who else you seen in around your neck of the woods then?
Oh, well, if you go to the Marquee Club, I could just roll them off. Jimi Hendrix was the first one.
Wow,
that was
Jimi
there,
Hendrix.
Yeah. And not being in the fire service then, the capacity for the club was 700 people, and they reckon 1,200 people was crammed in there. There was no windows, it was all sweaty. Mm. And what's his name? Chaz Chandler from the Animals, the bassist, he was his manager. And he was just trying them all out in different clubs. And he used to turn up, not bad for your five bob. And straight come on, he thought, blimey, see him, brilliant. Free Dog Night, they come up. You remember Free Dog Night?
Vaguely, yeah.
Well, that bigget they had was one, and Mama told me not to come.
Mama told me not to come.
Yeah. What
Jones,
a great live band.
Yeah.
And that was in 67, 68, that was. And they turn up, seven of them in a group. What it was called Free Dog Night. I don't know. Well, I do know. It's a term for a bad storm in Australia, but no, that's another story. They was fantastic live. Absolutely fantastic. Outfit's called Skip Bifferty. Brilliant. You had Linda, bloke from Lindisfarne on a couple of years back on
that's
a chat show.
We did, yeah.
And a great singer called Graham Bell. We used to go and see him. Also unknown groups as well as sort of good groups. I mean, the Stones used to appear down there quite a lot. Yardbirds was fantastic.
Did you see the Stones?
No, I didn't, no. Yeah, but by then, they'd started to creep up. We're talking about 67, 66. Yeah. They was well established. But in 63, apparently, he said all these clubs, all Richmond Way. But the Yardbirds I see down here. Used to go round with my mate's brother.
Yeah, you see,
they was great in 65.
I saw the Beatles around about 65.
So, yeah. No, I did. Showing off now.
Before they were famous.
Oh, yeah, this is
I
it.
Did, a fair
yeah.
field
Before they were famous?
Croydon.
What, in 65? Yeah. I don't think
no,
so. 55, maybe.
No. early 60s yeah. it would have been.
Early 60s?
Down at Fairfield
but they
Hall
were
sick, at
they were famous in 62.
Well, no, well, about 60 then it would have been.
Well, make your mind up, dear.
Well, okay, I can't remember.
A lot of people used to go and still see them in 63 in the Odeon cinemas and things like that.
What made me remember that everybody threw a little tiny dollies up and teddies and things on the stage.
Really?
That's
did you?
When it all started. No.
You didn't throw your undies, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
No.
But I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, not your undies, thank God. How brilliant is that? Yeah. So you've actually seen the Beatles then?
Yeah, before they came really, really famous. Yeah. In Fairfield Hall in Croydon.
And did you ever see the Beatles?
No.
Oh, well.
No. I see Queen in Fairfield Hall in Croydon.
Oh,
that's
oh,
where
yeah.
it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What year
yeah.
would that have been?
Now, that would have been probably 69, 70. Mm. They had Keep Yourself Alive as their first single.
Crikey.
And at the time they said this bloke's got a great he's a great singer, Freddie Mercury. Mm. And I think it was on the old Straight and Narrow then. We'll leave it there. And he was a good singer. And
tell us more, Marco.
No. But they sort of come on and what they did, I thought myself caught, and the guitar at the town at the time. Sounded it wasn't if it wasn't a guitar, if you know what I mean. And they used to put on, they used to have a placard up, Queen performing, no Moog synthesizers in this group, because the way it was his guitar, Brian May.
Yeah.
He played the guitar and it did sound like a Moog, and it was clever.
Brilliant.
And obviously they went on to be massive. And they,
did he have like long hair and the old leotard thing going on?
No, he just
then?
Had loads of long hair.
So
he didn't have no.
He changed that image.
Oh, that image totally. On. Yeah, yeah. The old string vest and all that.
Okay, so you actually saw Queen before they were famous?
Yeah. Well. On the up, from their first single.
69, yeah, but they wouldn't have had a hit till about 73, would they?
No, it was in the lower charts, 69, 70. Keep Yourself Alive if you check that one out.
Well, in what year?
69 or 70. I'm sure it was about, no later than that.
I remember he used to wear trousers. One leg was black and one leg was white.
Yeah.
And they were really tight.
Possibly 72.
Yeah.
Possibly 72, Ian. Maybe
right.
72.
Yeah, because they weren't going in 69. I'm pretty sure they weren't.
Well,
they
used to be called
anyway.
Smile before that. They changed the name to Queen. They used to be called Smile.
Oh,
so
right.
they was doing the same sort of stuff.
Yeah, Seven Seas of Rye, 1974, first hit.
Yeah.
74. So I'll just do a little search on Queen. But you went
Keep Yourself
Alive.
Alive.
How brilliant
yeah.
is that?
Excellent, they were.
Because it's
went
one
with
of the,
wife.
One of my biggest disappointments is not seeing Queen. I had tickets to go and didn't go.
Yeah.
And obviously, sadly, a couple of years later, he was gone. But that's one of the biggest bugbears ever. You know,
but they were a fantastic outfit. Definitely sounded good, and not like the last stuff that they're renowned for. They was quite a good. They were a very good rock group at the time, and Brian May and the bass guitarist used to write loads of stuff for them. Brilliant they were, and their first two LPs, which is I think it's called QE1 and QE2. The sounds on that is totally different to the latest Queen stuff. So they had totally different lots of fans in the end. But they reinvented themselves because at one point they went off the rails. And I think he changed his image and they made loads of money after that.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they say they were together 1970 as Queen. And obviously they would have been together before then as, what did you call them? 68, 74.
Smile.
Brian May, student of London's Imperial College and bassist Tim Staffel, decided to form a band and they called themselves Smile. You're absolutely right. And anybody else did you go and see at that time?
Oh, offhand, Daryl Hall and John Oates.
You saw Daryl Hall, John Oates?
Yeah, 67, 68 they were around as a duo.
67?
Yeah, they're that old. I played one Monday night, funny enough. Mod show, blatant plug, centre 10. And I played them. And one of the last time I see him was in 1980, and this is a bit of a story. My wife was pregnant with my daughter. We went to see him the tail end of February 98, and my daughter was born the second week of March. And it was up the name escapes me, up the Victoria, big club up Victoria it was. And Daryl Hall said, give that lady a seat, because she was rotund.
Yeah.
And that was a great concert.
Two seats.
But they go back way, way back, they do. They was in a group called Gulliver's Travels.
Wow.
And they've become a top. I don't like what they call them, Hall & Oates. They should call their proper name. But they're out of favour now at the moment, but they've come back. And he's very ill.
Oh, is he?
Daryl Hall, yeah. He suffers from this Lyme's disease.
Oh,
he can only record all his stuff from home now.
Oh,
but, yeah, they was fantastic.
Well, shall I tell you who was famous when I met my husband?
Go on.
Eden Kane.
Yeah, Eden Kane.
Yeah,
Will I ask you?
Yeah, that's when I met my husband.
God blimey.
And I still got the ticket.
Did you get him mixed up with Amos Brearley?
No, he wasn't like that. He was in the RAF then.
Yeah. Oh, is he? Because he looks like Amos Brearley.
He had short hair then, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he would have done.
Do you know, I'm sure you do know, Shirley. Do you know who Eden Cain's brother is? Because there's three brothers.
Aiden?
Salstead brothers.
Salstead. Yeah.
He's eldest. Go to my lovely. Yeah. Oh, I say.
Oh, that's Eden Cain.
He lives in America now, I think, yeah. Eden Cain. Yeah.
It's a bit of a no really spot, this is, Shirley, isn't it?
Yes.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Teaching these young people.
What about Rod Stewart? Because you're
I've seen him in the faces.
In the faces.
And I've seen the small faces.
Have you read his autobiography?
No.
Have a read of it, because he talks really affectionately about that period of time with the faces. Best band is, and someone actually broke them up, didn't they? It was quite a sad story, actually.
The small faces was controlled by Sharon Osbourne's dad.
Oh, right.
The name escapes me at the moment.
Mr. Osbourne?
Don Arden. Don Arden.
Oh, yeah, Don Arden.
Who allegedly was a control man. And he broke up a lot of groups. And the Small Faces, by the way, when he was in control, never got a penny from him. He just used to kick them out in clobber.
Really?
Yeah. So when they wanted to leave, he said, not a chance. You know, as they say, not a chance. I know a few people, allegedly.
Right.
Read Sharon Osbourne's book. She alludes to that. Anyway, so they went and they needed a singer, because Stevie Marriott moved on with Peter Frampton then.
Yeah.
They needed a singer, and they said, well, I know this bloke, he's been around a few years, Rod Stewart. He said, we'll bring him in. So he fitted him up, he fitted this sort of the position. They said, we can't call the Small Faces. So Rod said, we'll drop the Small then, hence the Faces. And in the Faces, in their time, for only about 3 years, I think it was going big live time.
Yeah.
They knocked the Stones off the stage without a shadow of a doubt.
They talked about that.
Live, brilliant.
They talked about that, because the Stones then tried to poach, and they did, they poached one of the members.
Ronnie Wood,
yeah.
But they were fantastic, the Faces.
Oh, honestly, check the book out. He goes into a lot of detail.
Yeah. One of the best tracks, sorry, cutting in, one of the best tracks, apart from Stay With Me, which is a big hit, if you've got it on the system, Ballstool Boys, you want to play that one.
Ballstool Boys,
yeah. It's fantastic. Okay.
Look, Marco, we're almost running out of time.
Sorry about it.
Thanks for coming in and filling an hour, because we couldn't be bothered to think of anything today.
Oh, hold on.
I've got to go and do some shopping yet.
I saw Lonnie Donegan.
Did you?
And he died the week after.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
Look, there's no answer to that.
Really? Yeah.
I just thought I'd put that one in.
Yeah.
Brilliant. We should all report back and say we're all right in 24 hours.
Yeah,
today.
You know, yeah.
Okay, well, anybody else you've seen, Shirley?
Yeah, I've seen loads of people.
Go on, innit?
I can't remember. You'd have to ask Mick outside, because my memory is so bad.
We'll have to get him in and do the show one day.
Yeah,
we've seen lots.
Do you think so? Get Mick in and do the show?
I bet he would.
We'll try and get Mick
I'll sit in with Mick. We'll do a skiffle chat and something like that. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Hey, look, Marco, thanks for being there.
Thank you.
I hope it goes well when you go away to prison next week.
No, the word is Romania, not prison.
I might be
in prison in Transylvania, I'll let you know.
You go and do your time.
Yeah. If you see me on local telly, bail us out, will you?
Yeah.
Don't let me rot in a Transylvanian jail.
I reckon you'll be an immigrant story in a couple of weeks' time, trying to get back in.
I'll step this way.
Thanks for